Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our study in the book of Romans on the power of the gospel. And our theme verse is the 16th verse of that wonderful chapter, the first chapter of Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It seems that in this wonderful chapter, the first chapter especially, that every verse contributes to the fact of the gospel being presented in a very orderly fashion. In verse 1, we read of the apostle of the gospel. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. In verse 2, we read of the promise of the gospel, which he had promised before of his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And there we have the subject of the gospel, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Here we have the proof of the gospel. He was resurrected from the dead. We will develop that in detail in days to come. Let's get on with our subject. Today, we wish to consider the promise of the gospel from the second verse of this wonderful, wonderful treatise on the gospel. Here it is, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, the Holy Scriptures mean the Old Testament. The New Testament was not yet written. Now, true, a few letters of the Apostle Paul were around, but the canon of Scripture was not complete. And here, the Scriptures had promised, that is, the Old Testament. Down through the years, they could have seen, they did see, that Christ was coming into this world. Coming events cast their shadows before. And this greatest of all events, the redemption of the human family by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, was seen very clearly in the Old Testament. I think probably the first book in the Old Testament was written by the prophet Job, and he was a prophet. But yeah, I think it was written by Job. Now, Job antedates the writing of Moses. Moses, of course, in his writings, goes back to Genesis. And those five books of the Pentateuch are ascribed to Moses, the law of Moses. But Job antedated him. Job lived in the days of the long-living patriarchs. Job lived to be many, many years older than Moses ever thought of living. And Job said in the 19th verse of that book that is called by his name, the 19th chapter, rather, in verse 25, Job said these words. Listen, if you please. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. Isn't that marvelous? 15 centuries before Christ came, Job knew that he was coming. God revealed that to these people. And how wonderful that he calls him a Redeemer. I know my Redeemer liveth. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to redeem us. What does it mean to redeem something? It means to buy it back. You redeem something by buying it back. He bought humanity back to God. God was deprived of humanity, his fellowship with them, through the efforts of Satan. But here, our Lord Jesus Christ paid the price that sin demanded, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us by paying that price to set us free on the cross. Now we can go to heaven. And I add, if we want to. Now, we go on. It was spoken by Elihu in the 33rd chapter of that same prophecy of the book of Job. I better not call it a prophecy. I think we can do better than that. In that book of Job, Elihu mentions the fact that Christ is coming in a very veiled sort of way. But he deals with people. And when he brings them down to the place when they're ready to trust in him, we read in verse 24 of chapter 33, "Then he is gracious unto him," this person that he's dealt with, "and saith, deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom." Now, what is a ransom? A ransom is the price that is paid for the deliverance of others. Our Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry refers to himself as a ransom. He uses exactly the same word that Elihu uses, a ransom. In Mark 10 and 45 we read, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." He paid the price to set us free from the shackles, the condemnation, the thraldom of sin when he took our sins upon him and died for you and for me on the cross. Wonderful story, and the Old Testament saints saw it. How wonderful. Now, in the writings of Moses, we read, the Lord himself is the speaker here. We've got to listen to him, haven't we? Well, of course, we've got to listen to the whole Word of God. But in John chapter 5 and verse 45 we read, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father." The Lord is speaking to those Pharisees that had surrounded him. "There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Now, could words be plainer than that? Moses wrote of Christ. I think of the writings of Moses. For instance, he wrote Genesis, all right, the fourth chapter. We have Cain and Abel coming before the presence of the Lord to offer up their offerings to please the Lord. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought a little lamb for his sacrifice. God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but Cain's sacrifice he rejected. Cain was furious. He later murdered Abel. Now, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we read a very pertinent comment upon those two boys. We read in the verse 4 of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Think of that if you will, please. Now, this verse tells us Abel offered it in faith. He knew what he was doing. You see, these people in the Old Testament knew that God would be pleased. And he being dead yet speaketh, Abel would tell us today, don't come unto God short of a sacrifice. Now, later indications in the Old Testament were by David in Psalms 22, 23, 24. We won't have time to read those Psalms in detail, but Psalm 22 gives us a description of death by crucifixion as it applies to Christ. Christ is on that cross in Psalm 22. In Psalm 23, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And our Lord Jesus Christ in the 10th chapter of John says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In Psalm 24, we have the coming of the reigning of our Lord Jesus Christ in that day to come. Now, Isaiah's prophecy of Christ tells us of his substitutionary death as nowhere else in all the Bible. Isaiah 53 is that wonderful, wonderful chapter where we get in detail the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just listen to these words, if you please. How did these prophets know 7 centuries before Christ came? It would be like this. Listen, please. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Speaking of Christ's death on the cross, when God laid our iniquities upon him, his sufferings here, and the ill favor that he suffered from his own people, were all predicted in the Old Testament 7 centuries before Christ died. Oh, how wonderful indeed is the Scriptures and the Old Testament Scriptures. This is the promise of the Gospel, that our Lord Jesus Christ would come. Now, I think this is very, very interesting, because God reveals. We read that in the Old Testament, the new is concealed. In the New Testament, the old is revealed. Now, as we have the New Testament today, we look back over that Old Testament, and we can tell now what those people were writing about. Many times when those Old Testament writers wrote, they couldn't understand their own writings. Peter tells us that, and it was revealed to them that they were writing for our benefit. But I'll tell you this, some of them did understand. Now, they may have had a hazy concept. They may not know as well as we know all that took place on that cross, but they knew it was coming. And they knew their sacrifices would not suffice. And they knew that those sacrifices would just not indeed fill the bill. And they knew that Christ was coming, even as Job, those 15 centuries before Christ came. He knew that he was coming. Yes, it is promised in the Scriptures. The book of Romans tells us in that first chapter, that wonderful chapter of introduction into that treatise on the gospel, how well that first chapter serves to introduce us. Second verse, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. How wonderful. And how wonderful indeed it is that we can read in these sacred pages of the Bible and get the story straight from God himself as inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Let's thank him. Our Father, today we thank you on the broadcast for the story of our Lord Jesus Christ and for what we can read in the Scriptures concerning him. We just pray that the Word of God will lead listeners to this program to place their faith in that wonderful person, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.